si si motivirám to svojme hráči do Hawksa. Většině, kdyby se o myšli tlát pana Hawksa, tak bude to Charlie Stavec, a to si myslím, ale najvější do Hawksa se tam to svojí svojí do svojí hrát po obáliky. A na to kultivališné vyniky. Dneska na pále do Charlie ty najvější do obáliky. Nebo Charlie šlo hlídá z takovéky. A jim z někoho hoši pišně čtání kudní tělá, že si dojde, kdy dá hrát 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 Vrindavan Dhamki, Navadi Mayapur Dhamki, Ganga Mayiki, Una Mayiki, Tosi Deviki, Bhakti Deviki, Sankirtan Yagyaki, Shihadinam Sankirtanki, Kantarachi Mabhavatanki, Samadita Bhakta Vindaki, Bhakta Premananda, Bhavari Siddha Samukhavati, Bhavari Siddha Samukhavati, Bhavari Siddha Samukhavati, Bhavari Siddha Samukhavati, Bhavari Siddha So just Bhagavatam, you don't read the...
The Shikshamrita, the proper Shikshamrita.
Yeah, you read Shikshamrita too?
Yeah, if you like it, I'm good.
Whatever I'm supposed to do, nobody told me anything. Except I'm supposed to be here this morning. Which one now? I'm sorry, I didn't follow. That one, 7011, okay. So you usually do this, what, 15 minutes or so? And then go on to the verse?
Yeah, 15 minutes.
Huh?
15 minutes.
15 minutes. So, we're reading from Srila Prabhupada's Shikshamrita, and this is section titled Temple Management and Devotees' Duties. Interesting. Let's see what we come up with today. This is 1970. This is 42 years ago. I'm always glad to learn that our Sankirtan is going on so much joyfully now in our every branch. We shall not misrepresent ourselves by making simply a show of devotional service and simply fill our bellies. It is our only intention to spread this sublime philosophy to all the persons of the world for the complete welfare benefit, both spiritual and material, of every one of them. The new program of preaching on Sankirtan, using one basic verse from the Bhagavad Gita as it is an excellent idea. We should always be eager to find out such nice ways to spread this movement. This will automatically bring joy to the devotees as well as to the non-devotees. This is a novel idea. Of course, it's not something we've not heard before. And Srila Prabhupada was very conscientious of this in the early days of our movement, that we not as Prabhupada used the word himself, misrepresent ourselves by simply making a show of devotional service and simply filling our bellies. In other words, Prabhupada's vision for spreading Krishna consciousness was always the same from the very beginning, when it was just Srila Prabhupada with a handful of followers, all the way up until Prabhupada's departure from our vision in 1977, is the most effective way to spread Krishna consciousness is by being Krishna conscious. And he never compromised by his own example, obviously, but also because his instructions to his followers were consistent with his own example. He expected the same from his followers, that what is attractive and so much need, attractive, as Prabhupada would sometimes say, to both the gentle or to the ruffian, or to the devotees and the rogues, Prabhupada one. Conversation, not conversation, it was commentary to the first prayer of the Six Goswamis. He emphasized the point that, in fact, I have it here, I might as well read it. It's the benefit of keeping this by my side. It has always have so much nectar right at my fingertips. Things that Prabhupada said. And where is it? Right here. It's Shri Sadgosvamastaka. There it is. And in his commentary, Prabhupada explained that Dhira Janat Priyo. In this way we should become friendly to every people. Dhira. There are two classes of men. Dhira, sober, and other class, rogue. Both of them will be pleased by Krishna Kirtan. You have practical experience. When there is Krishna Kirtan, people, all classes of people become very much pleased, and they join. As soon as your kirtan will be pure sankirtan, not artificial, not professional. There are many professional dancers. That will not attract. But even if you do not know the art of dancing, if you simply dance in ecstasy for Krishna's love, that will be appreciated by everyone. Krishna Kirtana Gananatana Paro. This is the art. One does not require to become a Vedantist. Simply if one chants Krishna's name, holy name, and in ecstasy dances, he's more than a Vedantist. Actually, Vedanti means one who knows the ultimate knowledge. Veda. Veda means knowledge. And Anta means ultimate, Vedanta. Then what is that ultimate knowledge? Krishna, Vedaishta Sayarar Aham Eva Vedam. That is ultimate knowledge. So one who has understood Krishna and Krishna's love, he's dancing. What more Vedanta can do? That is the first class realization of Vedanta. Krishna Kirtana Gananati Naparo. That's Prabhupada. Uncompromising. What's going to attract people? that you're dancing and chanting for Krishna's love. You want Krishna's pleasure.
Yeah.
Not that you're trying to, you know, attract people on some artificial pretense that if you chant Hare Krishna, you'll become healthy, wealthy, and wise. If you chant Hare Krishna, you know, you'll become materially successful. Prabhupada, you know, or not that we try to package Krishna consciousness. This is essentially what Prabhupada is saying here also. We package Krishna consciousness in a way that people will think this is a good investment in my money. If I give a good investment my money, then I'll be able to petition the Supreme Lord in such a way that I'll be able to negotiate a good kickback in terms of health. Or whatever. Prabhupada, he was always, sometimes people would come to Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, will you please bless my son for, you know, health, wealth, whatever it be." Prabhupada would just smile and say yes. I remember one time, one Indian man came to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, and he approached his Prabhupada and he introduced one by one all his family members. He said, "This is my youngest son, he's like this, doing this, and this is my older son, this is my daughter, this is this." And then Prabhupada turned to the devotee next to him and said, "This is my sex life." In other words, they wanted blessings. And, you know, simply for some material success, because they think that, you know, a sadhu, if he gives blessings, then, you know, just like the story we told, maybe it was last time I was here, about Govardhan Majumdar, who wanted to get Haridas Thakur's blessings for Raghunath Das, his son, right? And therefore, because Govardhan Majumdar was a very, very wealthy businessman, he was thinking that if he sent a cartload of jewels and opulent gifts to Haridas Thakur, certainly he would be able to get the best benediction for Raghunath Das. Yeah. But what was the benediction that Haridas Thakur gave him? He wasn't in the least bit, you know, attracted by the opulent gifts. He didn't even pay any attention to them. He's one. Balaram Acharya said, "Govardhan has sent all of these things for your pleasure." He just turned his nose, didn't even look. And he said, "He asked that you give a benediction to his son." So Haridas Thakur's benediction is, I said, "I give you the benediction that you'll be completely detached from this material world." But what did Balaram Acharya do? Balaram, as we explained, Balaram Acharya, understanding, you know, he was the family priest of Govardhan Majumdar. He knew Haridas Thakur, he was his guru. He knew that Haridas Thakur wasn't going to be compromised to give some mundane benediction. So when Haridas Thakur gave his benediction, he sneezed so loudly that none of the guards or the servants that accompanied Raghunath Das could hear the benediction. So nobody heard it. So when they all went back to Govardhan, Majumdar, and Govardhan immediately asked, you know, his servants, Raghunath Das's servants, and his guards, because he was always guarding Raghunath Das, "What benediction Haridas Thakur given?" And all of them said, "We didn't hear it. What did he get? We didn't hear it. We couldn't hear it. We didn't hear it." So they had to call Balaram Acharya and he said, "What benediction did the Haridas Thakur give my son?" And Balaram Acharya told him, he says, "He gave your son a benediction that he will control the whole world." Govardhan was in ecstasy. I control this huge tract of land and everybody comes and gives me some. My son's going to control the whole world. So what was the meaning behind that benediction? He gave him the benediction. Balaramacharya wasn't lying. Yes, he'll control the whole world because nothing in this material world will control him. Because he'll be detached from everything in this world. So he'll be in complete control of his mind, his senses, complete control, vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, totally in control. And therefore, nobody will be able to allure or tempt him in any way by any material gesture. Uncompromised. That was Haridas Thakur's benediction. That you be completely detached from this material world. But materialists, they want. So, but Prabhupada was not compromising in this way. Prabhupada knew that for the ultimate welfare of human society, the only thing that's going to save the degradation of human society, save people from having to go into further hellish conditions of life and repeatedly chewing that which has already been chewed, is that he knew that they had to get the real thing. And therefore, he wasn't going to compromise. He wasn't going to give anything else but the real thing. And therefore, that's what he expected of his followers. Just give the real thing. Don't try to make a show of devotional service and at the same time think about how to earn a means of livelihood, how to fill your belly. Or as Prabhupada would oftentimes criticize, that the people in India oftentimes they keep deities to get everybody to come and, you know, to give to the deities. And Prabhupada would say they use their shilas simply to crack nuts. That was their interest. They keep a shalagram shila for simply to crack nuts so they can eat. So, you know, and sometimes you go, everybody says, no, come, you come, give here. They won't let you go. They use the Supreme Lord. They try to use the Lord simply serving themselves and serving their families and building big palatial buildings in the name of deity seva. But Prabhupada said, no, this is not how we spread Krishna consciousness. What spreads Krishna consciousness is Krishna consciousness. And we don't have to compromise in any way. We just simply have to give the real thing because that's what people need, that's what people want, that's what people are looking for. And Kali Yuga, it's so difficult to find. So difficult to find because everybody wants to give something else. And they don't want to surrender themselves. They want to present themselves in one way, but behind closed doors they want to behave in a completely contradictory way, simply thinking of their own comfort. And Prabhupada never thought of his own comfort. Prabhupada went to Mayapur to establish Mayapur as the world headquarters. Prabhupada stayed in a hut. And when the devotees tried to, to make things more comfortable, and Prabhupada was not interested. He said, let them come, let them hear the holy name of the Lord. Let them come and see what we are doing. We're doing it. We'll give everything for Krishna, not a farthing for sense gratification. And so that's what he's saying here. He said, we should not misrepresent ourselves by making simply a show of devotional service and simply fill our bellies. It is our only intention to spread the sublime philosophy to all the persons of the world for the complete welfare benefit, both spiritual and material, of every one of them. And then he says, the new program of preaching on Sankirtan using one basic verse from the Bhagavad Gita as it is an excellent idea. In other words, Prabhupada was always encouraging devotees to use their intelligence and find different revolutionary ways to induce people to become Krishna conscious. So that, of course, means we can think of different ways to inject Krishna consciousness into the mainstream of human society. But the point is injecting Krishna consciousness. So he says, yes, use a verse from Bhagavad Gita as an excellent idea to try to get people to take to our Krishna consciousness. We should always be eager to find out such nice ways to spread this movement. This will automatically bring joy to the devotees as well as to the non-devotees. Okay, that's Prabhupada's quote for the day. So, Bhagavatam. Which verse is it? 10?
26:10.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Yat.
Yat.
Tat.
Tat.
Chigunam.
Chigunam.
Abhyaktam.
Abhyaktam.
Nityam.
Nityam.
Sat Asat Atmakam.
Sat Asat Atmakam.
Pradhanam.
Pradhanam.
Prakritim.
Prakritim.
Prahu.
Prahu.
Avishesham.
Avishesham.
Visheshavat.
Visheshavat.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Yat Tat Trigunam Avyaktam.
Yat Tat Trigunam Avyaktam.
Nityam Sarasaratmakam.
Nityam Sarasaratmakam.
Pradhanam Prakritim Prahur.
Pradhanam Prakritim Prahur.
Avishesham Visheshavat.
Avishesham Visheshavat.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Yat Tat Trigunam Avyaktam.
Yat Tat Trigunam Avyaktam.
Nityam Sarasaratmakam.
Nityam Sarasaratmakam.
Pradhanam Prakritim Prahur.
Pradhanam Prakritim Prahur.
Avishesham Visheshavat.
Avishesham Visheshavat.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Yat Tat Trigunam Avyaktam.
Yat Tat Trigunam Avyaktam.
Nityam Sarasaratmakam.
Nityam Sarasaratmakam.
Pradhanam Prakritim Prahur.
Pradhanam Prakritim Prahur.
Avishesham Visheshavat.
Avishesham Visheshavat.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Yatra Trigunam Avyaktam.
Nityam
Sarasaratmakam.
Pragyam Prakriti Prahur.
Pragyam Prakriti Prahur.
Ravi Vishesha Visheshava.
Avishesham Visheshava.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Yatra Trigunam Avyaktam.
Yatra Trigunam Avyaktam.
Nityam Sarasaratmakam.
Nityam Sarasaratmakam.
Pradhanam Praktim Prahur.
Pradhanam Praktim Prahur.
Avishesham Visheshavat.
Avishesham Visheshavat.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Yat Tat Trigunam Avyaktam.
Yat Tat Trigunam Avyaktam.
Nityam Sat Asat Atmakam.
Nityam Sat Asat Atmakam.
Pradhanam Prakritim Prahur.
Pradhanam Prakritim Prahur.
Avishesham Visheshavat.
Avishesham Visheshavat.
Anyone else?
Shri Bhagavan
Uvacha.
Yat Tat Trigunam Avyaktam.
Nityam Sadasadatmakam.
Pradhanam
Prakritim Prahur.
Avishesham Visheshavat.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead said.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead said.
Yat.
Yat.
Now further.
Now further.
Tat.
Tat.
That.
That.
Trigunam.
Trigunam.
Combination of the three modes.
Combination of the three modes.
Avyaktam.
Avyaktam.
Unmanifested.
Unmanifested.
Nityam.
Nityam.
Eternal.
Eternal.
Sat asat atmakam.
Sat asat atmakam.
Consisting of cause and effect.
Consisting of cause and effect.
Pradhanam.
Pradhanam.
The Pradhana.
The Pradhana.
Prakritim.
Prakritim.
Prakriti.
Prakriti.
Prahu.
Prahu.
They call.
They call.
Avishesham.
Avishesham.
Undifferentiated.
Undifferentiated.
Visheshavat.
Visheshavat.
Possessing differentiation.
Possessing differentiation.
Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, the unmanifested eternal combination of the three modes is the cause of the manifest state and is called Pradhana. It is called Prakriti when in the manifested stage of existence. Again, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, the unmanifested eternal combination of the three modes is the cause of the manifest state, and it is called Pradhana. It is called Prakriti when in the manifested stage of existence. Purport. The Lord points out material nature in its subtle stage, which is called Pradhana, and he analyzes this Pradhana. The explanation of Pradhana and Prakriti is that Pradhana is the subtle, undifferentiated sum total of all material elements. Although they are undifferentiated, one can understand that the total material elements are contained therein. When the total material elements are manifested by the interaction of the three modes of material nature, the manifestation is called Prakriti. And personalists say that Brahman is without variegatedness and without differentiation. One may say that Pradhan is the Brahman stage, but actually, the Brahman stage is not Pradhan. Pradhan is distinct from Brahman because in Brahman there is no existence of the material modes of nature. One may argue that the Mahatattva is also different from Pradhan because in the Mahatattva there are manifestations. The actual explanation of Pradhan, however, is given here. When the cause and effect are not clearly manifested, avyakta, the reaction of the total elements does not take place, and that stage of material nature is called Pradhan. Pradhan is not the time element, because in the time element there are actions and reactions, creation and annihilation. Nor is it the jiva or marginal potency of living entities. Nor is it the jiva or marginal potency of living entities, or designated conditioned living entities, because the designations of living entities are not eternal. One adjective used in this connection is nitya, which indicates eternality. Therefore, the condition of material nature, immediately previous to its manifestation, is called Pradhana.
Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhupada Shri Advaita Gitar Harshi Vasari Gaurava Govinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
today we have a technical verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam in the chapter about the fundamental principles of material nature, in which the Supreme Lord is describing the characteristics of Pradhana. What is Pradhana? And that is explained in the commentary. But before we go into these details that Prabhupada speaks about Pradhana, which is the unmanifested stage of the material energy. As we know, material energy goes to transformation from unmanifest to manifest to unmanifest to manifest to unmanifest to manifest. And the cycle of manifestation and unmanifestation is an eternal process which has no beginning. Of course, this is very difficult to conceive for the conditioned mind, because as we oftentimes explain, that the potencies of the Lord are achintya. One of the characteristics of the potencies of the Lord is they are achintya shakti, or inconceivable, which means that the potencies of the Lord cannot be understood by rational thought, or as Prabhupada would many times quote, Atak Shri Krishna Namadinagavid Grayam Indriyai, that Krishna cannot be fully understood simply by the blunt material senses, including five knowledge acquiring senses, and of course the sixth sense, which is the mind. Then, in many places, Krishna also explains to Arjuna that to know me as I am, I cannot simply be understood simply by austerities, or simply by studying the Vedas, or simply by some mental speculation, or by some material calculation. That only way that which you can actually know me in full, as I am, completely, the Supreme Lord, the complete understanding of the Supreme, is by undivided devotional service. And only then can you enter into the mysteries of understanding me. In other words, the complete understanding of the Lord includes the Lord along with his energies. If one tries to separate the Lord from his energies, and say that the Lord exists totally separate from his energies. Yes, it is true. He does exist totally separate from his energies. But according to teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu of Achintya Veda Veda Tattva, that is that the Lord is simultaneously distinct and one with his energies. And Prabhupada, of course, would oftentimes use various analogies to help us understand, according to our mundane ability to grasp that which is inconceivable, by explaining and utilizing the example of the sun, how the sun and the sun's rays are the same. You cannot have the sun cannot exist without the rays. So the energy and the energetic source, in one sense, are the same, but at the same time, there's also a difference. And the difference is that when the sun's rays enters into the room, it has one effect, and when the sun enters into the room, it has a different effect. So you also have to understand there is a difference. So simultaneous oneness and difference, this is one of the principles, the fundamental truths about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that everything within the entire creation, both material and spiritual energies, they exist along with the Supreme Lord. And therefore,
The impersonalist, Prabhupada speaks about the impersonalist conception here in the commentary. Their conception is, and it is as it is spoken by Shankaracharya, that he presents the theory which is called Vivartavard, which is the theory of illusion. Whereas Vedavyas, in his teachings of Vedanta, explains that when the Lord creates this entire cosmic manifestation, he doesn't transform himself. Because, as the impersonalists would like us to believe, that ultimately everything that exists within creation is a transformation of the Lord. And therefore, the Lord in his original, has no original identity. The Lord is manifest in everything. And Prabhupada gives the example, that, like what they say, is that if you take a piece of paper and you cut it up into all these little tiny pieces of paper, and then you throw it out, then the original paper no longer exists, but it does exist, but as tiny pieces. So, therefore, taken together, all the tiny pieces, that is the Supreme. And then, but Krishna says clearly in the Bhagavad Gita, yaktam yaktam apanamanyate mama abhudiya, is that people who are less intelligent, they think that I didn't exist before, I was impersonal before, and now everything is me. But he clearly says that they are abhudiya, these persons are without intelligence. Abhudiya. Because I always existed. And as he explains to Lord Brahma, is I who existed before creation, it is I who exists during creation, and it is I who continues to exist when all this creation is again in its unmanifested state. But therefore Krishna has his complete independent Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnamudachate Purnasya Purnamadeya Purnamivavashishate, as explained in the Ishupanishad invocation, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is perfect and complete. And also emanations that are coming from him. Oh, what is it? His Supreme Personality of God is perfect, complete, and because he is completely perfect, all emanations from him, such as this phenomenal world, are perfectly and complete, equipped as complete wholes. And because he is the complete whole, even though so many complete units emanate from him, he always remains the complete balance. So, in other words, Krishna is always complete. He's, and Prabhupada says spiritual mathematics means that one minus one equals one. Right. That you can take so many complete units coming from Krishna, but what does this coming from Krishna mean? It means that Krishna's energies, which are eternally manifest along with Krishna, both his material energies in a pradhana state and the living entities. They are eternally manifest. Material nature is eternally manifest in its pradhana state of avyakta, unmanifest, which means all the ingredients for unlimited varieties of material nature are not yet manifested yet, but they're all there within his energies. And when the Lord creates, he doesn't have to empty out himself to create. He's complete. And complete means that he also has complete energies, which are complete in themselves, which transform into this entire cosmic manifestation and can completely maintain everything within the cosmic manifestation because they're perfectly equipped as complete wholes. Prabhupada tells the story, wonderful story, to illustrate this point about the young boy who was a student in class. And the teacher, once a year, he conducts a ceremony for his departed father, and he encourages all the students
that they should bring an offering. Because according to Vedic times, the teacher would not be paid. The teacher would just simply be given dakshin. So he would ask all his students once a year, bring dakshin for the year, and I will use it as my offering for my father. And in this way, you'll give me proper remuneration for my services of teaching. But there was one boy in the classroom who was very, very poor. Didn't have anything. He asked all the students, tomorrow you come and you tell me what you will bring. So this poor boy, he went to his mother and he said, Mother, the teachers asked us to bring something as an offering. Please tell me, what can I bring? And the mother said, but we're very poor. We have nothing to give. She said, but if you want to bring something, you go into the forest and you look for the Supreme Lord. He can give whatever you need to bring to him and ask him. And the little boy said to the mother, he said, but mother, what is his name? How do I know when I find him? And the mother said, you call out for Dinabandhu. Dinabandhu means he's the friend of the poor. So the boy was a very, very faithful boy. And on the instructions of his mother, he went into the forest. And he began calling out, Dinabandhu, brother! Dinabandhu, where are you? And the Lord appeared before the boy because of his firm faith. Lord, he said, oh, I am Dinabandhu. You are Dinabandhu, you are the friend of the poor. Yes, I am Dinabandhu. My teacher, he wants me to bring something tomorrow for class. What should I tell him? What should I bring? So the Lord said to the boy, he said, you tell him you bring some dahi. And the boy, very happy, he returned to class the next day. All the other students told the teacher what they were going to bring. And the boy said, I said, we're not very poor, but I was told by my mother, she told me to go to speak to somebody, and I was told that I can bring some dahi tomorrow. So the teacher said, fine. He was very satisfied. So then the boy left class that day, and then he went to the forest and said, Dinabandhu, brother! Dinabandhu, brother! I have to bring some dahi! You have some dahi for me to bring? And the Lord gave the boy a little pot, but it's very small, about the size of the hand. And said, yes, yeah, you bring this to your teacher tomorrow. So he brought it home, and the following day, all the students, they brought in very big offerings. And when the little boy approached the teacher, he said, I brought my dahi. He gave him the little pot of yogurt. The teacher looked at the yogurt, the pot, small pot, and he was very disturbed. How can you expect this to be sufficient to satisfy? Yeah. Look what everybody else has brought. You're bringing this small pot of yogurt? So in disgust, the teacher just threw the yogurt, the pot, aside, and the yogurt fell out all over the floor. And then the boy picked up the pot, and he held it, and it was full. He said, here. And the teacher looked at the pot. And the pot was full. And he said, leave it. And he threw the pot, and he emptied that again. And then as soon as he turned the pot over, it was full again. And Prabhupada said, he tells the story, he said, this is Krishna. Krishna, Dinabandhu, he's the friend of the poor. In other words, Krishna's complete. He can, through his creation and his cosmic manifestation, he's also manifested a very complete means of sacrifice by which the living entities can live a very complete life. What is the very complete life? Well, Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnam Purnashtam, as we quoted, but the next verse, the first verse of Ishupanishad, is Ishavasam Idam Savam Yakin Shadjagat Yamjigat Tena Tekena Bhujita Madhvira Kashi Sudhana. that everything animate and inanimate within this universe is controlled and controlled by the Lord. Therefore, one should accept those things which are set aside, it's just quota, and not accept other things, namely wealth to whom they belong. Kurvani viha karmani vijiji visage chatan samaha. That's the next verse. He said, one may aspire to live for hundreds of years if he goes on working this way, because this type of work will not bind him to the law of karma. So, a principle of how to live in this world is that the Lord has provided a very complete arrangement how to live by performance of sacrifice. And when a devotee lives by the performance of sacrifice, taking only those things from himself, which is set aside as his quota, in other words, being satisfied to live with whatever the Lord provides in a small cup of dhyan. Because if one is satisfied to live with whatever is provided in the small cup of dhyan, one will find that the cup will always be full. The Lord has provided a complete arrangement to maintain everyone, to give them what they need. But because people are so greedy, they're so greedy, they think, no, I need more and more. Because they don't worship the Lord by the performance of sacrifice. Because they do not know how to find internal satisfaction through sacrifice, through pleasing the Supreme Personality of God. Therefore, they think that the only way they can actually live in this world is by accumulating, that's what Prabhupada calls, unnecessary necessities of life. The seventh canto of Prabhupada, Prabhupada very clearly describes them as unnecessary necessities. Understand it. Only Srila Prabhupada can give us such a perfect such a perfect description of what are the necessities of life. Well, unnecessary necessities. Unnecessary necessities means we think they're necessary, but they're not. And Prabhupada calls unnecessary necessity, I think, in teachings, one lecture of teachings of Queen Kunti, he talks about different types of cosmetics as an unnecessary necessity. He talks about different types of cosmetics as an unnecessary necessity. I think he used the example of lipstick or something like that. I don't think he was condemning, but he was specifically talking about artificial civilization where people dress up the human body in such an attractive way, but without ever understanding the needs of the soul. Or just like that verse, Bhagavad Bhakti Hinasya Jati Chastram Chapastapa Pranasiva Dingana Mandanam Lokaranjana. Ornaments on a dead body. This is what Prabhupada was speaking about. They spent so much money for ornaments on a dead body. A body that's only after of some 10, 20, 30, 60, 70 years going to die anyways. But they spent so much decorating a dead body. So, this is what he describes as unnecessary necessity. So, this story that Prabhupada tells about Dinabandhu brother is very instructive. The Lord actually is complete. He himself is always complete. Unlimited universes emanate from him. He always remains the complete balance. But all of these unlimited universes are emanating from him. They're going through these stages of avyakta, which are unmanifested state, which the whole combination of the ingredients of material nature are lying dormant in an unmanifested state, and there's no influence of the modes of material nature. As soon as the modes of material nature are created, as soon as time factor is created, because time factor is what facilitates creation. How can there be creation without time? So the first thing what is created, even before the manifestation, prakriti,
of this cosmic manifestation is time. And that's also explained here in the Bhagavatam, the creation of time and atom. Because how can creation take place unless there's time? Because in the spiritual world, time is conspicuous by its absence. In the spiritual world, there is no influence of time. Although Krishna wakes up in the morning and goes off to the cow in the pasturing grounds with the cow boyfriends and the calves, and Krishna returns in the evening and it appears that the sun sets, time simply is manifest in the spiritual world to enhance the Lord's pastimes. That's all. Only to enhance them. There's no diminution of anything of time by the influence of time. Diminution of time only takes place in the material world, where there is birth, growth, duration, production of byproducts, dwindling, and vanishing. This all takes place, this transformation of this cosmic manifestation takes place under the influence of the time factor. Therefore, the point that Srila Prabhupada makes here is in this avyakta state that Pradhana is not the time element, because in the time element there are actions and reactions, creation and annihilation. So Pradhana is that state that exists before time is created. It is the avyakta stage of the Lord's energies, which are eternal. And therefore, to understand the Lord in its complete understanding, not in its partial understanding, and this complete understanding is to know that the Lord always exists along with His eternal energies. They cannot be separated. Just as you cannot separate the sunshine from the sun, you cannot separate the energies from the Supreme Lord. So, therefore, property, material nature, is this transformation of pranam. The Lord creates time, and then through the influence of the three modes of material nature, what happens? Birth takes place. Who is the first? Aja, the firstborn? From Gavardakshaya Vishnu, from the navel of Gavardakshaya Vishnu? Lord Brahma, he is the firstborn. He takes his birth. And Lord Brahma, he has a duration of life. In time, under the time factor. He lives for 100 years. But just so happens his 100 years happens to be... How many billions of years is it? Huh? 312 trillion years, isn't it?
311 trillion, 40 billion.
Huh?
311 trillion, 40 billion.
Okay. A lot. But this is 100 years. How long he lives? Right? Brahma, he's also takes his birth, and at the time of at the end of Brahma's life, he gives up his body. Of course, when Brahma goes to sleep at night, there's a partial annihilation, which is also described in the Bhagavatam, the partial annihilation, and then which the universe is half submerged in water. And then after when he wakes up, and then what happens to living entities who were also within the body of Mahavishnu are once again impregnated to the glands of Mahavishnu into the womb of material nature. Brahma creates all the different varieties, species of life. Living entities are impregnated into the species of life and the activity begins again. And then this goes on, night and day, throughout Brahma's life, and then at the time when Brahma, when his duration of life is finished, then this universe is wound up, and the living entities who are still incomplete, who still throughout a whole lifetime of Brahma, still didn't get the point, get the picture. That the whole show is temporary?
Which? Sometimes it takes that long. Therefore, at the time of annihilation, universal annihilation of living entities are again within an unmanifested state until the time of next creation, and then impregnated again to the womb of material nature, and everything begins again. Of course, it's understood more intelligent than that. At some point in time, we're supposed to come to a very complete understanding of their existence in relationship to the Supreme, and therefore, by the mercy of the Lord, who appears in His most merciful incarnation in every day of Brahma, somehow or other, they're given the opportunity to actually to come to this complete understanding and to worship the Supreme Lord by the performance of sacrifice, Sankirtan Yajna, by which they can actually break free from the stringent laws of material nature and gain entrance into the transcendental abode of the Lord. But as Prabhupada explains, the whole show is temporary. Where is that? It's in his explanation of the Hare Krishna mantra, isn't it? He's talking about the verse of Brahma Samhita. That's right. He's talking about the Brahma Samhita. Ultimately, the whole show is temporary. So, temporary, and that is the Vaishnava understanding, that the materialists, they say, or not the materialists, the impersonalists, or the Mayavadis, they say, Brahma Satyam Jagat Nitya. That Brahman is truth and the material universe is false. But the Vaishnava understanding is no, the material world is not false. How can it be false? Because it's the energy of the Supreme Lord. It cannot be false. It is temporary. And therefore, the Vaishnava understanding, which probably contradicts the Mayavada conclusion, which they say, no, everything here, all the variety, it's all false, because ultimately everything is one. Whatever variety that we perceive in this world, whatever you see in the way of forms, of names, of shapes, it's all false. It's an illusion. And that is the Vivartavard, the theory of illusion, which is promoted by the Mayavadi philosophers. They say that the material world is an illusion, it is false. Whereas the Vaishnavas say, no, Parinambhag is that, no, this cosmic manifestation cannot be false because it is the energy of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, it is real. But its manifestation and unmanifestation, cycles which go on eternally, that energy is real, but its manifestation is temporary. Therefore, the illusion is to mistake that which is to be something which it is not. And Prabhupada gives the example, just like if you pick up a rope and then think it's a snake, and you immediately drop it, it's a snake. Rope is real, the snake is real, but the illusion is accepting the rope to be the snake. That's an illusion. So in the same way, the illusion is to accept that I am this body, to accept that my life is meant for enjoyment in this body. That is the illusion. Everything here is permanent. That is the illusion. No, everything is temporary. So, therefore, the understanding which the Vaishnavas have, and which is ultimately understood from this verse of the Bhagavatam, is that the Lord's energies are eternal, but go through manifest avyakta and or pradhana and prakriti. Manifest stage of material energy is prakriti. And then again unmanifest and then manifest. So this is the eternal process, and therefore Prabhupada concludes this purport by saying one adjective used in this connection is nitya, which indicates eternality. Therefore, the condition of material nature immediately previous to its manifestation is called pradhan. Verse again, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, the unmanifested eternal combination of the three modes is the cause of the manifest state, and it is called pradhan. It is called prakriti when in the manifested stage of existence. Okay. Incomplete. Anybody wish to fill in anything that I left out? In other words, don't become fooled by foolish Mayavad theory. That is the point. Mayavadis will have us believe that this world is false, that ultimately we're all one, and we can ultimately realize our supreme identity by the performance of yoga and become Narayana, or as Prabhupada would go ballistic on the Dharidra Narayana philosophy, poor Narayana, to say that we are all Narayana, but we should service to Narayana means to serve Dharidra, the poor Narayana. Only the poor Narayana. Prabhupada would say, yes, they say Dharidra Narayana serve the poor Narayana, but what about Lakshmi Narayana? You know, when the Supreme Lord is manifest with Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, well, I'm not interested in serving the Lakshmi Narayana, I'm only interested in serving the poor Narayana. And which is, of course, you know, what the followers of Vivekananda would propound, that service to Narayana, to service to the poor is not different than service to Narayana. Prabhupada, look it up in the file, the original Narayana. Prabhupada, you find at least 150 references of Prabhupada going ballistic. And he would say, actually, the whole point that's being made here is that the reason why they do it is because when promoting poor Narayana, serve the poor, don't become fooled by foolish Mayavad theory. That is the point. Mayavadis will have us believe that this world is false, that ultimately we're all one, and we can ultimately realize our supreme identity by the performance of yoga and become Narayana. Or as Prabhupada would go ballistic on the Dharidra Narayana philosophy, poor Narayana, to say that we are all Narayana, but we should service to Narayana means to serve Dharidra, the poor Narayana. Only the poor Narayana. Prabhupada would say, yes, they say Dharidra Narayana serve the poor Narayana, but what about Lakshmi Narayana? You know, when the Supreme Lord is manifest with Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, well, I'm not interested in serving the Lakshmi Narayana, I'm only interested in serving the poor Narayana. And which is, of course, you know, what the followers of Vivekananda would propound, that service to Narayana, to service to the poor is not different than service to Narayana. Prabhupada. Look it up in the file, the original Narayana. Prabhupada, you find at least 150 references of Prabhupada going ballistic. And he would say, actually, the whole point that's being made here is that the reason why they do it is because when promoting poor Narayan, serve the poor, just everybody, serve the poor, the people on the street, they collect so much money, and they say, and he would say, Prabhupada would expose it by saying, he would live so lavishly, off all the money they would collect from poor Narayan. A small amount would go to feed some people on the street, and everybody else was living in opulence. Swallow. Dirty than Narayan. Then they would slaughter animals, also kill animals in the name. Anyways, that's only one. There are many manifestations of the interpretation of the Supreme Lord. And the Prabhupada would just simply emphasize to not be cheated, that actually our constitutional nature is that the Supreme Lord is always supreme and we are always his servant. And therefore the complete understanding of the Lord is simply to understand that my existence is only complete when it's connected to service to the Supreme. We should not accept any. And therefore, when the Vaishnava hears that the impersonalist or the Mayavadi is trying to say that Krishna has a material body, that Krishna has only accepted a body temporarily in order to incarnate. And therefore his body is made of Maya. Maya body means, they say, that his body is made of material energy. And when Vaishnava was here, it is so painful to their heart. Because they understand that, no, the Lord has an eternal, ever blissful, youthful form, and beautiful form. And his individuality is eternal. And to say that he's only temporarily manifest in some body when he comes in this world, that's like cutting the heart of the Vaishnava who only wants nothing more than to be the eternal servant of the Lord. What could be more painful for the Vaishnava to hear that the Lord has a material body and is ultimately formless and has no personality? Painful. Therefore Prabhupada warned, do not listen to Mayavadi philosophy. It's poison.
There's one pastime, I don't remember the details, but a disciple of Srila Prabhupada was asking Srila Prabhupada, well, what's wrong with these Mayavadis? They're chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, they're worshipping the Govinda deity. What's wrong with that? Right? And so he's asking this way, and Srila Prabhupada's walking with him and leaning on his shoulder as we're speaking. He's like, you know, they're chanting Hare Krishna, they're worshiping Krishna, they're reading Gita, they're doing all the same thing through him. What's basically the difference? I mean, are they going to attain the same destination? And Prabhupada said the difference is this. He pushed his disciple aside and kept walking. And the purport was that Mayavadis will chant the name of Krishna and worship Krishna, but their ultimate goal is not to worship.
Their ultimate goal of
Krishna is to use Krishna
to use him.
So what they think is the higher view. And as Prabhupada mentioned, his verse actually explains very clearly, you know, their conception is that if it's differentiated, it's material. If it's non-differentiated, it's spiritual. But here, you know, Vedavyasa explains so clearly that the material energy is both differentiated and non-differentiated. You know, it's manifested and non-manifested. So that's not really the dichotomy. That's the supreme is, you know, that's their conception. It's really a material conception either way.
That's right.
It's really a material conception. And one verse, I remember one statement of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he said that the chanting of the holy name by mind bodies is like thunderbolts in the body of Krishna. It's like thunderbolts, because it's just, the conception is so deeply offensive that it's not pleasing. Even though it's his name being chanted, it's not pleasing to the Lord in any way.
Also, do they want to kill Krishna?
So it's nice to when you hear this verse, it just we know it, but it's, you know, the Bhagavad Gita, which is the natural commentary on Vedanta, gives this conception so clearly in verses like this. You know, you hear it, it's like nectar in the ear. Because we hear so much of this other conception. You know, it explains it so, it's just put so clearly.
It can't be defeated.
Yeah.
It can't be defeated. There's no way to be defeated. But people still, they try to argue because they think logic and argument is the method of defeating the Lord. But evident conclusions of the scriptures will never manifest in their hearts. Therefore, what are they? The only thing they have to defend themselves is their own interpretations. And therefore, what they do is they take the self-evident conclusions of scriptures and they cloud them with their interpretations. Because they're not willing to hear. They've already taken that we're all this. It says when the Supreme Lord has no eyes, nor has no arms, they say, okay, he's formless. Mm. So they take a statement from the scriptures and utilize it to justify his formlessness. Whereas actually the statement is describing how the Lord has no material eyes, has no material arms. Yes, he has no eyes, but he can see everywhere. He has no legs, but he's faster than anyone else. He can move faster and swifter than anyone else. He has no arms, but he can accept offerings from anywhere throughout creation. But they take it in the impersonal way, because that is their conclusion. Whereas the Vaishnavas understand, the complete understanding, because they accept the self-evident truths of the scriptures passed down without interpretation. And therefore, when Lord Chaitanya was listening to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya for 7 continuous days, and, you know, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya saying, you've been listening to me, but they haven't said anything. Can you please come? Lord Chaitanya said, I can't listen to you. You've clouded all the meanings of the Vedanta with your interpretations. I can hear Vedanta, but I can't hear you. I'm not interested in anything you have to say. That's what they do. They just cloud it with their interpretations. So, anyways, fortunately, Prabhupada has opened our eyes. Om Gyan Tivarandasya Gyananjana Sarabhayas. He opened our eyes. Otherwise, we would be under the influence of this diabolical, insidious philosophy, which, you know, I know I came from it. I was. If I tell you the books that I was reading, Richard Morris Buck, I was reading all these books about cosmic consciousness.
Alan Watts era.
Alan Watts, come on, he was one of my gurus. The way it's in. I was 60s. They were all just like feeding their venom back then. And everybody was buying into it.
walked over to Erewhon. I remember in the 1970s.
Erewhon.
And there's a good picture of Bubba Freejohn with a quote from Alan Watts. I think we've got an avatar here. It's a quote from Alan Watts about Bubba Freejohn, Laughing Man, whatever his guy was. I think we've got an avatar here. I go, what, guys? Right in there, one. Newbury Street. They were all there. A dime a dozen. Prabhupada came in to expose them all. Expose them all. Oh, how fortunate. Anyways, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
What day?